Seems like I was just here talking to you. I was. God bless you all. It is so good to be here with you this morning. And if you need a Bible, slip your hand up and one of the ushers will bring you one. We'd love to have you follow along with us in God's Word. And with your Bibles, if you'd like to start turning to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be looking at chapter 1. We'll also be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a little bit and Romans 14. So if you'd like to maybe preset those spots, so when we say turn there, you can go, I got it, bam, I'll turn right there. Because not, you know, it takes a while before you hear a book and you go, well, where is it? I'm still working on that, so... But we'll start in Colossians chapter 1. Pastor Joe is taking a few days away this week and spending time with family, and he'll be back Tuesday, and no emergencies, no nothing, just spending time with family, and asked if I'd fill in today, and it is a blessing to share God's word with you. And so we're going to be looking at the subject of reconciliation this morning. It's one of the key words we find in the very heart of the gospel message. The whole purpose of Jesus coming and dying on the cross was for God to reconcile us back to himself, to bring us back to him, to take what was fallen away, which is us, and restore our relationship with him. And so we're going to be looking at that a little bit this morning. And so with open Bibles, let's open our hearts before the Lord and go in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this time together, and what a beautiful section of scripture this is, Lord. I pray that your spirit, Lord, would remind us and encourage us, even urge us, Lord, to remember the price you paid for us, Lord, and how wonderful and beautiful it is that you have restored us back to you, Lord. You've reconciled us in Christ. And so, Lord, with open hearts, open Bibles, Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear. Lord, give us hearts to receive. And may you be blessed this morning as we invite you in, Lord, this place. Fill this place, Lord. Speak to us. Change us. Mold us, Lord. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." As we look at this section of scripture this morning, as I mentioned briefly, the word reconciled, it simply means restored. That's what the word means. To restore, to even make compatible. And of course, since the fall of man, we are all born into this ugly word called sin. We are separated from God because of sin. And so we are not compatible with God when we come into this world. We are separated from God. You know, we are fallen away and God is still in the same place, but through reconciliation, he has restored us to himself. It says in the very first section of verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." Two important words we're going to look at just in this verse, and the first is fullness. The Greek word for fullness is pleroma, pleroma. It literally means to be crammed full, packed. To the fishermen of that time, it was used to describe when their fishing net was ready to burst from so many fish. But to the Greek philosophers and the Gnostic teachers, who were false teachers, it was a term that they used to describe the sum of all divine power. Right? It was a term that was used to describe the sum of all divine power, absolute. And so it's no coincidence that in the book of Colossians, more than eight times, I believe it's nine times, Paul uses this term, writing to the church in Colossae, to remind them that God's divinity is whole. It is complete. He is the one true God. There's no other. And he's also affirming that in Jesus, this fullness is absolute. And so the second word here that we want to look at is dwell. Dwell is an important word. It means to have a residing place that's permanent. It's not just a temporary thing. It's not something that was added to Jesus' divinity. It's something that has always been. It's something that has always been. It says, it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness, all of God's divinity, absolute power, absolute God, was in him, Jesus. It was not added to him later. It was not brought to him, or certainly not temporary. In the fullness in Jesus, we find everything we need, folks. In the fullness of Jesus. When we are close to Jesus, that's when we find peace and we find joy. We find strength to get through trials or tribulation when we're walking close to the Lord. But when we separate ourselves from the Lord, that's when the worry kicks in. That's when chaos kicks in. Discontentment, when we find ourselves distant from God. One of the things we're going to make a point of here this morning is our being close to the Lord in our relationship with him. You know, the Lord says that, you know, if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. It's an initiative that we have to take. We have to be proactive, if you will, in our faith. It's not just come and, I recognize Jesus as my Lord and Savior, now I'm good. It doesn't work that way, because God is changing us and molding us and making us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And it's a work that God is doing in all of us. And because of that work, we can't just stop and sit down and say we're good, because all the fullness dwells in Jesus. Everything we need is wrapped up in Jesus. In Colossians, verse 16 through 18, same chapter, it even tells us, for by him all things were created, speaking of Jesus, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities of powers, all things were created through him and for him. So even at the very center of all creation, we see that everything was made by him, through him, and for him. Again, the fullness that is found in Christ, it is absolute. It is absolute. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. It is everything. It is everything is wrapped up in Jesus. All creation even centers around Jesus. Looking back at this word dwell, before we move on, the Greek word for dwell is katoiokeo. It means, again, to be at home permanently. And again, showing that the fullness that we find in Christ, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. If we keep drawing close to the Lord, and if we keep seeking after the things of God, God never runs on empty. You know, the tank never gets low. He's always got something to pour out into our lives and teach us and mold us and make us and shape us. Because the truth is, none of us are perfected yet. None of us. We're all a work in progress. But the key is recognizing that everything we need is wrapped in Jesus. That is the key, folks. It's not how much scripture you have memorized, though that is great. It's not about the studies, Bible studies, how many Bible studies you attend. Those are great. The Word of God is speaking to you. But it's, what are you doing with your faith to draw close to Jesus. Because we can get misled even and think because, well, I studied this and I went to this study and I served over here or I did this for the Lord, we can think, oh, yeah, that's good. I'm getting points with God. No. Those things are great. They're great to do. You know, James talks about the works, and they're great. Because we're saved, we do these things. But what he's reminding us of here is we need to be absolutely drawn close to Jesus, absolutely full on, 100% drawn to Jesus. And we look at the price that God paid for us, even in this section of scripture here this morning, and it's going to remind us how important you and myself, how important we are to the Lord, and how much he cherishes each and every one of us. And the price that he paid for us is incredible. Even in John chapter 1, it even says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That he, Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And you can go down a few verses, and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's Jesus. So he has always been, he is always here, and he will always be. It's not going away. Nothing is going away. You know, everything with God is it's permanent. It's eternal with God. Our home that is waiting for us as believers, it's eternal. It's not temporary. It's a permanent dwelling place. And it says it pleased the Father that in Jesus this fullness is found. It pleased him. You know, in Isaiah 53, a little bit of a contrast here, but back in Isaiah 53, getting there. In 53, verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, it pleased the Lord to send his son to be bruised for our iniquity, to become an offering for our sin, not his own, but ours. Every dark thing we've ever thought, every twisted little sin mankind has come up with, Jesus Christ died for those sins. And it pleased God that all the fullness was in him. In verse 20 of Colossians, it says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Again, we're going to see this term a lot. By him, through him, in him, for him. Because everything is centered around Jesus. Everything, folks. Through the blood of his cross, we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so when we sing about the blood of Jesus, or we think about the blood of Jesus, we truly can rejoice. You know, we can find joy, and we can find peace, and we can find true happiness because of the blood that was shed for us. You know, back in the book of Acts, when the early church met, oftentimes they would meet in little tiny homes, you know. And they would meet at night because of the persecution that was happening in the early church. They would all congregate at night. And they would light a candle or two so that they could have just a little bit of light. And they would meet and they would pray and they would seek after God and read his word. And the people of that time thought that these Christians who were of the way, which was what they were called at that time, thought they were crazy. They thought they, number one, they were cannibals because it talked about eating the, you know, the bread, which is the body of Christ. And then they, when it comes to the cup of the new covenant, the drinking of the blood, so they had this misunderstanding of who Christians were. They thought, man, these guys are drinking blood and eating body parts. They're crazy. That's what the people in society, that's one of the reasons that Nero was able to round everyone up and get everybody so fired up against Christians, throwing them in lions' pits, burning them alive. He used that. And if you read, even in history books, you can read about the early church, and you can see that that's one of the things that people believed. That we were like cannibals, that were just drinking blood and eating bodies, eating body parts. So there was a misunderstanding of the blood and the body. But folks, as Christians, the blood to us is precious. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And it pleased God that Jesus would become an offering for our sin. And so, yes, we can rejoice in the blood. We can find peace in the blood. Through, he says, peace, we having peace through the blood of his cross. Wow. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting, that means forever, not going anywhere, everlasting covenant, which means promise, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Even in these first two verses, we can see the absolute fullness in Jesus. The very reason we're created was to be with him. It's mind-blowing when we stop and just meditate on it for a moment, that because of our decisions, our choices of our free will, we sinned against God. And instead of leaving us in a state of sin and being hopelessly lost, God set forth his plan of redemption for man. And when you read the Old Testament, every page in the Old Testament, every single page, is all part of God's redemption, redemptive plan for man, leading to Jesus. The whole Old Testament is a foreshadow of Jesus. He is riddled through the whole Old Testament. Why? Because the Word of God became flesh. Jesus is the Word. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus, folks. Everything. We have to come to grips with that, because we're going to be challenged in a little bit with some scripture. God, through the power of his Spirit and his Word, is going to challenge us this morning. And we need it. We really need it. Because, folks, Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if we believe that, then we need to get busy about our Father's business. We need to start being a light in this world, start being salt to this world, create a thirst for Jesus. It's not about coming to church. Listen, God says don't forsake the gathering of the saints, and church is great. Bible studies are great. But everything is wrapped up in Jesus. If he's not the priority, then nothing else is going to fall into place. We're seeking Jesus. We're talking about Jesus this morning, because this is his church. And that precious blood that we find peace through, that he shed, bought this church, you. You are the church. So Jesus needs to be priority. He needs to be priority in our lives. And we're going to be challenged this morning. We're going to be challenged here. Verse 21, and you, speaking to us, who once were alienated, means separated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. There's that term again. He has restored us. He has made us compatible with him again through the blood of Jesus. Again, everything was wrapped up in Jesus. It always has been. The fullness, right? And when he became an offering for our sin, the fullness of God was nailed to the cross. Think about this for a moment. The fullness of God's divinity, all he is, all he will be, was nailed to the cross for you and for me. All of who he is. And it's all wrapped around Jesus, folks. Even Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 9 tells us, much more than having now been justified by his blood, right? We shall be saved from the wrath through him. See, Jesus took our punishment because the wrath of God was poured out on him on the cross. So when I say that the fullness of God and all his divinity, the fullness of who God is, was nailed to the cross, we also have to remember that the wrath of God that was meant to be poured out on sin was poured out on Jesus for you and for me. We escaped a huge blow, folks. We escaped a punishment that no man or woman would even dare to try to endure. The wrath of holy, pure, and righteous God, the one who holds the universe in the span of his hands. The wrath of God dodged us. We know the term now is missed a bullet. Jesus took it for us on the cross. Paul is really reminding the church in Colossae exactly what they have in Christ. In fact, I encourage you, read the book of Colossians, because the book of Colossians is all about the preeminence of Christ. It's all about his complete, total, divine power being all-sufficient, all-full. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus. It's a great book. We recognize that we were separated. We were alienated from God. And he says we were enemies in our mind by wicked works. We were separated, enemies in our mind. In Romans chapter 7 tells us that the carnal mind, the separated from God mind, those who aren't saved, that their mind is actually at enmity against God. We're enemies with God. We were against him. We were against his precepts. We were against his judgments. We were against his righteousness. I bring all this up because we have to realize how depraved we were before Jesus came into our life. We have to remember that, because we can get complacent in our faith and start to think, oh, it's, Jesus. And just kind of a nonchalant type of way, take our faith, take our salvation even for granted. And so we're reminded here in Colossians, the price that was paid for you and for me, and that God would take those who hated him, and he would send his son to suffer and die for them, tells us that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. If God, and he did, send his son to die for those who hated him, then there is nothing that is above God to be forgiven. We can be forgiven. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you haven't received forgiveness from God yet. You know, you can come to church and hear the word and worship, and you can say, you know, yeah, praise the Lord, you know, all the Christian lingo. But between you and God this morning, where do you stand with God? Are you forgiven? Have you acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And have you decided to follow him? You can't turn from your sin, repent from your sin, without turning to God. Right? You can't do it. The very term repentance is to do a 180, about face. We are to turn from our sin and turn to God. If you just say, well, I'm going to stop my sin and turn from my sin, but you're not seeking after God, then you're not saved. Because we have to be on fire for the things of God. We have to be directed towards Him at all times because we have been saved from the wrath of God. And we've been forgiven. We've been made clean. So why would we say, oh, I'm saved, but not follow God? It can't happen that way. It cannot happen that way. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't belong to you anymore. I don't belong to me. I belong to the King. I'm a child of God. I'm His. And what I do is what He wants me to do. I want to please the Father. I'm not concerned about pleasing men. I want to please Him. The very reason that we do the youth ministries, that we work with children, we love the kids, but we want to please God. And if you ask any of our youth workers here, you know, what we teach, why we teach them the Word, you know, why don't we do an eggnog chugging contest in church? No, seriously, I won't put the names on blast, but the youth ministries are really whacked out in the church in America. I'm sorry. There is a lack of teaching of the Word of God, a lack of church discipline, a lack of being led by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a lack of all that in the church today. We teach our kids the Word of God here. And if you ask Andrew, myself, Rudy, anybody who works with the children, it's because we are going to stand before God one day. And we are going to have to give an account of every moment we've had with these kids. That scares me in a very good way, that every moment I have with the children, I'm going to pour out the Word of God, the love of Christ, and being led by the Spirit to see these kids be changed. That's why we do it. If you ask Pastor Joe, that's why he's up here every Sunday and every Wednesday. That's why he believes in teaching through the Word of God from the beginning to the end. Because we are all going to stand before God one day and give an account. Let's pause right there after verse 21. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I got to get there too. Come on, Pastor. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to look at verse 18 and 19. And 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. Says that now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If you realize what that says right there, God has reconciled us through His Son. And He has given us all, as believers, every single one of us, the ministry of reconciliation. He has made us His ambassadors, as we're going to read here in a moment. Verse 19 and 20, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God would be imploring you right now. Be reconciled to Him. Have you been restored in Christ? He's given us this ministry. You know, I was talking earlier in the announcements. I'm trying to find a ministry where I can help. Well, one of the ministries that God has given us is reconciliation. He has given us a word. He even says to confirm it. A word, the word of reconciliation. He has given us the ability not only to restore relationships between people, to squash disputes, to forgive one another. I mean, Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, my Heavenly Father won't forgive you yours. That's a heavy statement. But there was a heavy price paid for us all. There's a heavy price paid. So we have this ministry that God has given us to help reconcile people in their relationships, to be peacemakers, to restore people together, to give a word of reconciliation. But more importantly, I believe, is God has allowed us as his ambassadors to be used by him to reconcile people to him. That's a amazing opportunity, if you will, to be used by God to reconcile people to him. The very thing he sent his son to die for, God has given us the ability to bring people to him. And again, we're ambassadors for Christ, folks. We are to be a reflection of Jesus. And if we're reflecting who Jesus is, one of the ministries that you have is the ministry of reconciliation. You know, they'd say nowadays, how's your reconciliation game? You know, are you busy reconciling others to God, comforting others, forgiving others, sharing one another's burdens, praying for one another? You know, God says in Proverbs, actually a few times, what he thinks about those who are gossipers, slanderers, and those who cause division, which is the opposite of restoration. The opposite of reconciliation is those who cause division. He hates those things. You know why he hates those things, folks? Because look who the first deceiver was in the garden. The first big lie, if you will. The first deception. Did God indeed say, don't eat of this? Oh, God's holding something back good from you. And we bought it. We bought the lie. So that lie spurned into the sin, which separated us from God. So God takes those things very serious when he speaks about gossiping, slandering, lying, and how we speak to one another. He takes them serious. You know, being separated from God and then being restored back to him, there is nothing greater than coming back to exactly where God designed you to be. He says that we were alienated from him because apart from God, we really are alienated. We are strangers. Now, we're told that we're not of this world because this place is not our home. But apart from God, you are alienated because he's the one that created you. So if you don't have a right relationship with God, you're missing out on the very purpose why you were created. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I love it. It's one of my life verses. I go to it frequently, and it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So God has created us for a divine purpose, the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling others to himself, created these good works and this good plan for us that we would walk in it. We were created by him. We were made by him, through him, and for him. Even the very gift of reconciliation, folks, the very gift of reconciliation, we find that it's all by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that while we were sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And what he says here, going back to Colossians, you can turn back there. It says in verse 22, after he says he has reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. The purpose, to present us holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. It's interesting that word sight, the word is kind of it's a challenging word to say, but it's katenopion. It means to be directly in front of. Directly in front of. And part of God's plan here through Jesus and through reconciling us to himself is so that we can be presented directly in front of God, holy, blameless, and above reproach. He wants us to be clean. He wants to make us pure. He wants to make us white as snow. And Isaiah, the beginning of Isaiah is beautiful when God says, come, let us reason together. For your sins are as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Our sin has separated us from God, but praise God, he didn't leave us in our sinful state. He sent forth his plan of redemption and sent his son, Jesus, to come and be the propitiation for our sins, to be the replacement for us. The cross, it says his cross, it's really our cross, folks. Jesus, he took our cross. He was nailed to the tree that belonged to us, right? He paid for the sins that belonged to us. And so God has given us everything we need. Even he's held nothing back from any of us. And yet, we see God's importance for us. We see how much he cherishes us, that he would do all this for us. But what are we doing for God? We know the importance that we have in the sight of God. We know our worth in Christ, that we are worth dying for. But who is Christ to you? Where does he stand in your life? What position does he have? Is he just, you know, for some, maybe the go-to God when things are tough? For others, well, you know, I meet with him on Sunday and maybe a Wednesday. That's when I meet with Jesus. But I want to encourage you that life apart from Jesus is not a life at all. Because all the fullness dwells in him, Jesus. And all that God has given his son, Jesus says, I have given to you. You know, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we come to the cross and say, Lord, here I am. I believe in you, Jesus. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to follow you. When we do that, when we make that decision, all the fullness that dwells in Christ, guess where it goes? It goes right into us. God makes us complete, lacking nothing for every good work he has for us. We find completeness. We find everything we need wrapped up in Jesus. I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians, back to chapter 5. I said we'd be bouncing around a little bit. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The last verse we read in Colossians says the part of this purpose of God's redemptive plan to reconcile us, remember, to present us holy and blameless and above reproach in the sight of God. To present us before him, holy and blameless. Because, folks, what we read here is we are all going to stand before the Lord. In fact, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, and we can look at some more confirmation real quick here. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, just two books to the left. You'll find Romans. Let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14 of Romans, verse 10 through 13. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. To bring to resolution, to resolve it. Let's resolve this. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God then goes on to say he's even given you the word of reconciliation. So you might say, well, okay, I have the ministry. What do I say? God's given it to you. If the fullness of Christ indeed dwells in you, he has given you those words. But the question this morning is, do you have the fullness of Christ? Do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, verily, verily, I say to you, that unless one is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. We must be born again. It means to be dead to ourselves, not only alive in Christ, but filled with the Spirit of God. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is now dwelling in us. It's a radical change that takes place, folks. And that's why every weekend, Pastor Joe, myself, our heart's cry is always that everybody in this place is saved. But it's just not the case. There's no way everyone in here is saved and born again. There's just no way, folks. And so we urge each week, we urge you, we plead with you on the behalf of Jesus to be reconciled to God, to be restored to him. And there comes a time in our life, and the last few weeks we've really seen it here in the church, where people are coming to Jesus. They're recognizing, yeah, my life apart from Jesus really is hopeless. Yes, it is. Because all the fullness dwells in Jesus. Everything he has for you, everything God has created for you and designed for you is wrapped up in Jesus. And it's like a beautiful present that's sitting there and is just waiting for you to come and open it and taste and see that the Lord is good. He has so much more for you than this. I know there's some in here today that are dealing with situations. You're dealing with burdens. You're dealing with strife in life. You're dealing with craziness. You're looking for peace. And I would plead with you this morning that you need to turn to the Prince of Peace. You need to turn to Jesus. He's the answer. He always has been the answer. And he always will be the answer. All the fullness of all divinity is wrapped up in Jesus, and he desires to give that to you. It's incredible. Where do you stand with the Lord this morning? Are you struggling, trying to find peace? Maybe drifted away from the Lord? Maybe find yourself alienated? God is begging you to be reconciled to him today. If you'd like to pray this morning and acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be forgiven of all your sins, to be washed, to be made clean, if that's you this morning, and you haven't surrendered to Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity to be part of the family of God. Jesus came into my life just over 10 years ago, and he has radically changed this wretched man standing here. And he's still changing this wretched man. But my hope is in Jesus. And since my hope has been placed in Jesus, he's never let me down, ever. He's never let me down. He has been faithful. He is a faithful God. And if you haven't trusted him as Lord and Savior, do so today. Be saved today. Be forgiven today. Become a child of God today. The Bible says that today is the day of redemption. Don't wait till tomorrow. And so we want to give you an opportunity right now. Let's all just bow our heads together, can we? And as we pray, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, at this time, I pray that your Spirit would tug on the hearts of those in here that need you, Lord, that don't know you. If that's you this morning, if you have yet to be reconciled to Christ, with our heads bowed, I'd like you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you this morning. You need Jesus. You need to be filled with Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. There's those in here who don't know Jesus yet. Be reconciled to Jesus today. Anyone as we close. You're thinking, oh, should I put my hand up? I don't know. Jesus bled and died on the cross for you. You can lift your hand for him. You can lift your hand and say, I need Jesus. Anyone before we close. Anyone? Father, we are so grateful for your word. We are so thankful that, Lord, you have reconciled us. You have brought us into a right relationship with you, God. And for those in here this morning, Lord, who don't know you, Lord, I pray that they would get alone with you today in the quiet of their own home or wherever it's at, Lord, and just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Be my Lord and Savior, and help me to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that, Lord, there are those here today that would make that commitment, Lord, because we are to be reconciled to you. The days are short, Lord. We know you're coming soon. May we be found watching, watering, and waiting, Lord, for your return. Lord, may we be busy about your business. Lord, bless the folks here this morning as we go from this place. May we rejoice today, dwelling on all that you have given us, Lord, and how all sufficiency is truly found in your Son, Jesus. And we give you all praise this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand together. And also, if the elders would please come forward, if you need prayer this morning, and maybe that's you this morning, you want to come to Jesus, it's not too late. I'm going to have the elders come forward who are here. And if you need prayer, we're here for you. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.